Okay, so welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. We are now in Kibbutz on Daf Chaf Zayin Amud Aleph, at the Mishnah in the middle of the Amud, and in two relatively short podcasts we will complete our study of the second parish. This Mishnah, which is the middle of Mishnah Tet, Ir Shekav Shuach Charkom, if a city was conquered by an army, Kol Kohanot Shein Tzubetocha Psulot, any women who are Kohanot are assumed to have been raped, and therefore they are psulot. But any witnesses, even servants, could testify that they were not touched and they'll be believed. What a person is not believed about himself, which means that there's the one person who cannot testify to say that she wasn't touched. So we have a challenge to this Mishnah about the notion that automatically, we should assume if the army came in that the women were raped. If a raiding party came into the city, if it's at a time that things are quiet, then any barrels that were already opened, we assume these non-Jews took some wine, and the wine becomes asur yain nesach. Stumot mutarot, the ones that are sealed are mutar, they didn't have the opportunity to open them up, and we see that they're still sealed. Shat nochama, but if it's a time of war, which seems to be the context of our Mishnah, elu ve'elu mutarot. Why? They're busy fighting their war, they don't have time to do nisuch hayayin. So then the implication here seems to be that if they don't have time to go for the wine, they would not have time to go for the girls. Rav Mari answers very simply, leave all yesh p'nai, then asech ein p'nai. Now, whether this means that leave all, to have bia, takes less time than to do yesh, or whether there is a greater drive on their part to take advantage of the women than to take advantage of the wine, either way, that simply is answer, that bia they will do, whereas yesh nesach they won't. Yitzhak Rav Elazar, Mishmei Chizki Amar, he gives a different answer. Kan b'charkom shalotam achut, kan b'charkom shalmachut acheret. He draws an important political distinction, and that is, if it's charkom shalotam achut, meaning it's the army of that country that the city is in, or a conquering army, then they certainly want to have good relations with the people there. They're not going to allow their soldiers to go and mess up the wine, and indeed, in such a case, the women will assume to not be touched. But it's charkom shalmachut acheret, if it's an invading army, then indeed we would be concerned that they would take advantage of all those things. Now, let's see it. Shalotam achut nami, even if it's the same kingdom, if shadlo arak chad minai, certainly one soldier will get away and do what he does. So Shmuel says, it's talking about a case where they're watching each other, like his guards. If shadlo naima purta, so one guard is going to fall asleep, I mean, these things happen. Levi can go into Mahadala Lamata, they bring into the city Shushilta chains, the Chalban dogs, the Gavza, things that make noise, the Avza, the animals. In other words, they put up a sort of a bell system there so that none of the soldiers can leave the camp. So if even one does, he'll set off an alarm so that they'll make sure that they'll maintain good relations with the locals that they've just conquered. Now, I'm Rabbi Barzavda, Pliga Bar Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya of Rabbanan. Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya was the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. And the Rabbanan had a disagreement. One took one position and the other took the other, which they ended up in the same place, just how they got there. He simply had the same distinction between the local army and an invading army. And he didn't ask any questions about it. He said, if it's a local army, they're not going to mess around. And the other one asked all these questions. One would fall asleep, would get away, one would fall asleep. And he came up with the same answer that they set up the alarm system. Either way, we come to the same result, that if it's an invading army, we have to be concerned about all of these things, the wine and the women. And if it is the local army, we don't. So if there's one hiding place, that saves all the Kohanot. You have 50 Kohanot there, and there's one hiding place. All of the Kohanot are assumed to have been in hiding. Now, Bar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Ein Machzeket Al Achatma, what if the hiding place only holds one person? Which means in reality only one of them could have been there. And yet, are you going to declare that they're all Tahor? Mi Amrin Kochad V'chad Ahainuha, do we say about each one, you're the one who was in there? No, you're the one who was in there. In each case, as we judge it independently, you're the one who was in hiding, and therefore you're safe. Perhaps we don't say such a thing. And by the way, notice the women are not claiming anything. We're judging this externally. Now, we say, why would that be the case? You've got two paths. One is Tameh. We know somebody was buried there. And one of them is Tahor. There's no Tumat make there. And somebody took one of those roads. He was carrying Truma with him. Another fellow went on the other path and also had Truma. Yehuda says that they came at separate times to ask whether they're Tahor. Each one would declare Tahor, kind of like in our case. But if they come at the same time, we say both Tameh, because after all, it's Sofek Tum and Rishut HaRabim. Rabbi Yossi says, in any case, they're Tameh. And now we analyze that and say the following. V'yama Rava, Itim Rabbi Yochanan, Bevatacha, Dibrakol Tameh. Everybody agrees that if two people come together and they say, I walked on this road, I walked on the other road, we say they're Tameh. Because if they come at separate times, we judge them independently, and each one we assume was on the Torah road, Dibrakol Tahorin. So what's the machloket Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda? One of the two comes and says, what about me and my buddy? Right? In other words, do we then separate them out? I say, well, the buddy's not here, so we can look at them separately and each one declare Tahor. Or do we say, it's one question, it's almost as if the two of them are there. So, Rabbi Yossi considers it to be as if they came together in Tamei. Rabbi Yehuda considers it to be like separate testimony. And it's Tahor. Since now we're putting a blanket heter over the whole city, it's like one thing, and there's nobody came to ask. We're judging all the kohanot at one shot. We're the one asking for all of them. So since Rabbi Yossi says in such a case we consider it to be tameh, and halacha always follows Rabbi Yossi, here it should also be tameh. And yet the implication is that we're considering if there was a hiding place for one, all the kohanot are tahor. So the answer is simple. In the case of the two roads, one of them was certainly Tameh. You can't say people walked on both roads and nobody's Tahor, and nobody's Tameh. But here, who says anybody was raped? We don't know that. It's a chashash. And so we say, good, so we'll rely that each one of them was the one in the hiding place, and they're Tahor. Now, Bar Rav Asher, Rav Asher asks the following. What if a woman comes forward and says, there was a hiding place. I didn't go in there, but I wasn't touched. Mi Amrinan Malishakir, do we consider this a case of Migo Malishakir Surah Pesha Asar or Dilma Lo Amrinan? Perhaps we don't say such a thing. Now, let's take a look. Umayshame Ahuma said Ahu Gavro, this famous story about a guy, the Agale Khamra Lachavre. He rented out a donkey to his fellow. Now let's remember a renter is chayav, certainly in Shia. If he takes the animal and takes on a dangerous road or near a cliff or something and the animal dies, he's responsible. If on the other hand, the animal in the process of doing the work that you hired him for dies, then you're not responsible. You're going to show Ellison. Amalei, lo tezer bu'urcha b'nahar p'kod, dikamaya. And the renter, the leaser, the lessor, said to the renter, don't take the donkey via Nahar Pekod, there's water there. Zilba Urcha Dinesh to Lakamaya. Go the other way, Route B as I called it on the page, where there is no water. So clearly his concern was not Route A versus Route B, but was water. The guy went the way that he was told not to go. Umit Chamran, the donkey died, but nobody knows that he went that way. Atta the Kameh Durav, and the fellow came, the other fellow was suing him for the donkey, and he said, yes, I did go on the wrong way. But there was no water there. In other words, what he seems to be saying is that the water was not the cause of the problem. And Amarava Malishaka, Rava said, it's a good Migo, right? He could have said, I went on the Route B. He said, I went on Route A. So we should believe him that there was no water. Water was not the problem, and the donkey just died. Abaye said back to Rav, we don't use a Migo to overrule Edim. And there are Edim, we all know that there is water there, which means that for this fellow to say, I went there but there was no water, we don't believe him. And so therefore his admission that he went Route A is enough to make him pay. And so why is that any different than a woman saying, I hid but wasn't affected? So this is parallel to the previous case that we had. Hachi hashtahatam vada ika edim di kamaya. Here we, everybody knows that there's water in Nahar Pekod. We have lots of witnesses. Hacha vada, maybe here do we have witnesses that she was raped? Chashahu. It's just a chashah, a concern that when the army comes in, they're going for all the women. So what we're saying is that in the case of a chashah, we will accept the migo and say that the woman says, I didn't hide, but I was not touched. Since she could have said, I did hide, and we would have no reason not to believe her, therefore we believe her here. Good. In the end of the Mishnah, it said, in Yesh Edim, and said, Afilu Ever Afilu Shivcha, she's believed, even if the witnesses are one witness and the witness is a slave, a Shivcha, Nemanim. Afilu Shivcha Didameina, even her own Shivcha, Ramini. Now this comes down to the psychology of the relationship between a mistress and her handmaid. Romini, lo titechedimo. The case here is a man writes a get for his wife. He's on his deathbed, and he's concerned, like the typical case, that they have no kids, and he has a brother who's a schnook, and he wants her to be divorced. He's doing it for protection. But once he's written the get will become a get yashan, enough for puzzle if they have bia afterwards. So therefore, she cannot be alone with him, elapi edim, unless there's edim there, that of course will make sure that they're not having bia. Anybody could be in the room, that would be good enough, even a slave, even a handmaid, except her own handmaid. Because she is very comfortable around her children, she undresses around her, she doesn't mind doing that, therefore the presence of the shivcha will not ensure that she doesn't have bia. So, which is it? In our Mishnah, the implication, although it's not stated explicitly, the implication is that even if her shifcha can testify that she wasn't touched, that's good enough. And here it seems that the shifcha is not a mitigating presence against her bia. Our papi gives a very simple answer, which is the chachamim were lenient when it comes to a shvuya, and they allow such testimony. Our papa gives a different answer. The statement about Gittin is talking about her own shifcha. There, she's very comfortable doing anything in front of her. Shifcha didei, but if it's his shifcha, meaning it's not her personal handmaid, but it's someone who works in the household, then she won't be that comfortable, and then that woman could testify that she wasn't touched in our Mishnah. Now, b'shifcha didei lo mehena, but we're not going to believe it's her shifcha. Matani en adam yidal atzmo, but the end of the Mishnah said that a person cannot testify about himself. So anybody else, including even her own shifcha, is believed. The answer is shifcha tana mikatz madame. Based on the way that we put it together, her own handmaid is like her. In other words, she can't testify about herself, nor somebody who would be as comfortable as her being alone, which is her own shifcha. That's what Papa's answer. Rashi amar hava hava shifcha didai. Said both the Mishnah and the case of Gittin are talking about her own shifcha. The shifcha mechzachazi v'shatka. The reality is that a shifcha will see her mistress doing whatever she's doing and won't say a word. Right? So now, hatam d'shtika ta matirata, in the case of our Mishnah, where her silence is matir her, in the case of Gittin, where her shtika will be matir her, because if she has bia in front of the girl and the girl doesn't say anything, that's going to permit her to not be considered an eshet ish, even though really the get has been cancelled by her bia. So lo mehemna, therefore we don't believe the shifcha. Hachar shtikata osarta, but here in the case of the raid in the city, if the shifcha doesn't speak up, the girl is going to be asered, mehemna. Then we believe her. In other words, the shifcha will simply, if her mistress had bia in front of her, she just won't say anything. So in the case of a get, her silence is really a problem, because if she's present and we don't hear her report anything, we may assume that means the woman didn't do anything, and indeed she did, and that's a problem. If on the other case, the raiding test, a group comes into the city, and this woman is indeed raped, and her shifcha is present, her shifcha says nothing, it's not going to help her, she's still us. So therefore, if she speaks up, we believe her. Ashtanami Achi Mashakra, so maybe she'll come and do two things. In other words, maybe she won't only be silent, but maybe she'll come and lie and say she didn't have bia. The answer is Tarte lo avta. Even a shifcha won't do two things. In other words, she will be silent about the fact that her mistress had relations, but she won't come and lie outrightly and say she didn't. So, and we have an example of this where we judge even people who don't have credibility will only go so far with their lack of credibility. He had the Mari bar Isak, a particular man, Amilachana bar Isak, somebody the son of Isak. A certain brother came who had not been there for a long time, and he was coming because father had died and he wanted to participate in the Yerusha. Amrei Plogli Minichse Gabe said, I should get a chelik too. Amrei Adam Alach. So this Bar Isaac said, I don't know who you are, I've never seen you. So they came to Rav Chista. Marle Shaper Kamerlach. He said, indeed, your brother, the one you're claiming is your brother, the one we know is a real brother, is, the new one might be saying the truth. Tichtiv, and take a look at Pasuk 1, Ve'akero Sefer Techa Ve'im Lohi Kiruhu. Famous story, when the brothers came to get bread for the regent of Egypt, he recognized them, they did not recognize that he was Yosef. Malamed, what does that teach? She'atza b'lo chatimat zakan, v'aba chatimat zakan. That when he left them, he didn't yet have a beard, and now he had a beard. Of course, there's many other reasons they didn't recognize him. He was dressed up as an Egyptian, etc., etc. But in any case, it's certainly possible that a brother could be separated from his family for many years, and when he comes together, now he's an older person, they don't recognize him. So it doesn't mean that if you don't recognize him, even if we believe you that you don't recognize him, it doesn't mean he's lying. So they told this new fellow, go bring Edim, that you are really the brother. I do have witnesses who know them, but I'm afraid of them. Right, because this guy is a thug. So I'm afraid to go ask them to come and testify on my behalf. I'm a later today, so then Rav Chista turned to the known brothers and said, "Zilaitinu at lavachuchu." So if you think that really he's not your brother, and you know that this guy knows something about who this new fellow is, you go get him and have him come and testify that he's not your brother. Right, Dina Hachi, so this Bar Isaac said to Rav Chista, that's the halacha. If this guy wants to get money from me, he's got to prove that he is the brother. Why should I have to prove he's not? This is what I've judged for you. And all of your tough friends. So why aren't we concerned that these tough guys will come and actually lie and say he's not the brother? The answer is Tarti Lavdi. Even these people, they might say nothing. They might say we don't know, but they're not going to go the opposite of what they know to be true. Just like we say about the Shifrin. Now, Lema Ketanoi. Let us maintain that this perspective of Shifcha Dido and Shifcha Didei is really a machloka tanaim. In other words, whether a Shifcha is believed about her own mistress. Perhaps it's a machloka tanaim. Because one writer says, Zue dud ish vi isha, tinok vi tinoket, avia vi ima, vi achel vi achota. All of these people are believed. An adult, little kids, her parents, her siblings, avalov menal vita, not her children, lo avda vi shifchata, not her servants. Tani dacha kolim an ma'id. Chutz me man o ba'ala. And the other writer says they're all believed, including a shifcha, except for her and her husband. So hashtanami atum. So perhaps these two opinions really are subject to the machloket that we see here as follows. Rav Papi, Rav Ashi Tanoihi. So for sure, Rav Papi, who said b'shvuyeh kelu, and Rav Ashi, who said that the issue of the shtika, whether that's mata or not, that they indeed would have to agree that it's a machloket tanaim, and they're taking one of the positions that a shifcha is believed, and they'd have to agree that a shifcha that not already agrees that a shifcha is believed. But Rav Papa milema tanaihi, but Rav Papa, who is the one who said that shifcha dida versus shifcha didei, who says a machloket tanaim, perhaps everybody agrees with him that a shifcha dida doesn't, can't testify. Rav Papa says, you know, when we say that a shifcha really is believed, not when she's testifying, but when she's just mesiach l'fitumah, when she's telling the story. Right? We know what mesiach l'fitumah is. Ki hadachiyatu avdimi amar, it's a story that Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael and said, Rav Hanan parti gna'a mishtoi. In Eretz Yisrael, there was a certain Rav Hanan who told the story. Maseh b'alpem Rishum Levi, v'amri l'Rishum Levi mishtoi, or the other version was Rishum Levi told the story, Maseh b'alpem Rebbe, that the story happened to Rebbe. There was a guy telling a story. Me and my mother were captured by the goyim. Every time that I went out, I kept an eye on my mother. I went out to collect wood. I kept an eye on my mother the whole time. They see a Rebbe allowed the mother to marry into the kahuna based on this testimony, even though, of course, we do not accept the testimony of a son that we saw in the Brayta. But when Seichel Fitumo, then we do. Okay, good. Now the next Mishnah, which is the end of Mishnah Tet, the last part of Mishnah Tet. Amizachayim and Akatzav, Amaonazay, took a shua. Here's a man testifying about his wife. He said, I held her hand the whole time from the time that the legion came into Yerushalayim. He said, a man cannot testify about himself, which means also about his wife. So they did not accept his testimony. And his wife was assumed to have been Nivala. Now, Tana, parenthetically, he said, Zachai ben Akatzav did set up a house for this woman who he had to divorce, or at least he couldn't live with anymore. He set up a house in his own chaser. When she would walk out, she'd walk out with the kids. She'd walk in after the kids. In other words, she was still part of the family. So Abai asked the question, can you do the same thing with the regular grusha? A man divorces his wife. Can he keep her in the same chaser? Maybe in the case of a captive woman, there may kill. Maybe it's the same. She should not marry and stay in his neighborhood. And if he's a Kohen, right, even if she didn't marry, it was if she married, if a man divorces his wife's stam and she stays in the neighborhood, not a problem, because even if they get together, once she marries, she has to leave, because the concern is that they may reignite their passion, and of course they have intimacy, so that would be easy, and therefore she must leave. If he's a Kohen, then she has to not live in the same district or the same street, even if she didn't get married. If it's a small neighborhood, a small village, the rabbis decided that a small village is like a neighborhood. Everybody sees everybody else. So if she marries somebody else, or if her husband is a Kohen, she has to leave. Now, who has to leave, though? Does she leave or he leave? Tashmana Tanya, he nidchem panav. So the Brayta says she has to leave. He doesn't have to leave. Meaning, if neither one of them is willing to leave, then she has to go. But if the chatzer belonged to her, then of course he has to leave. What if the chatzer is jointly owned? So remember, the Brayta said she's pushed out. What's that in that case of where he owns the chatzer? It's a pshita, obviously she has to leave. Well, the chatzer shala, it can't be her chatzer. We said that he has to leave. So in what case would you say that she has to leave? It's not obvious, meaning a case where he owns the chatzer. Again, must be where they own it together, where neither one of them owns it. And in that case, nonetheless, she has to leave. I dilma de agir megar. So maybe not. Maybe if they own it jointly, she doesn't have to leave. But maybe if they're both renting it, then that's what the case was talking about, where she would be the one to leave. Now, my avriyala, what's the psak? Toshma, so we quote a pasuk about galut. God is going to make you move, travel like a man has to move around. What does that mean? That it's harder for a man to move than for a woman, and therefore in that case, we have the women, if the things are equal otherwise, I mean they both own the chatzer, then we make her go. Let's say a man borrowed from his wife, and they're now divorced, she sends somebody else to collect the money. She doesn't go herself. Again, we're afraid that the passions will be reignited. And if the two of them come to us for din, we don't sit down and bake din for them. He says further, we throw them in cherem for continuing to have a business connection after they've divorced. He says further, we even give them makot for that. So Amar Nachlan Tana Ba'avar Rabati said in the Masachet Tana, Avar Rabati, we learned, this, all of these stipulations about having to keep a distance and not have business connections, etc., is only if they were married and got divorced. If they were only betrothed and got divorced, that's why she can go herself and collect loans. They don't have intimacy. There's not a concern here. Nonetheless, Hahu Arus Arusato, there was an Arus and his fiancee that got divorced. The Atu Lakame Durava, they came to Rava for Dean. The student was sitting in front of him. Okay, Rava Shlucha Bentayu. Rava put somebody else to stand in between them to keep them separated, even though they had never been married. He quoted Rav Nachman quoting from Avraham Rabati that if they were never married, we don't have to be worried about this. I see that they're very friendly with each other. That either means they had intimacy or that's not in the way, and therefore I'm going to keep them separated. The other version is that Rava didn't put anybody between them. He allowed the two of them to stand together in din. And so according to this, the student said to Rava, we should put somebody in between. So then Rava answered back, but in Avraham Rabati it says that's only if they're married. And according to this, the student said to Rava, that's only if they're not intimate. I see that these two people are very friendly and very intimate with each other, and therefore we really do have to put somebody to keep them separated. Either way, that does seem to be the conclusion of the sugya, that in the case of a couple that was never married, but betrothed, now became divorced, we allow them to have business dealings like any other two people. But if we see that they really do have an intimacy and a familiarity with each other, then we keep them separated. And if they do come to deen, we will hear the deen, but we'll keep somebody in between them to make sure that nothing else gets ignited. Okay, everyone should have a wonderful day. And in Yirtzeh Hashem, in the next podcast, which those of you listening relatively live will be coming out very soon, we will finish Perek Sheni.